The best quoters of movies you've never seen. This is Carpenter and Rothman.
All right, welcome back in. Carpenter and Rothman, Anthony Rothman, Bobby Carpenter. We welcome back to the program senior NFL reporter for the MMQB. He is Albert Breer. AB, hope you're well. Thanks for making time for us.
Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Yep, well done. All right, so let's dive into the Brady thing because I want to get your take on that because Bobby and I talked about this a lot yesterday. Give me your best guess on why Brady left New England. And maybe you know more than it's just a guess, but I know there are a lot of camps that say, well, it was a 20-year relationship, change for change's sake. It's got to be more than that, right?
Well, the wheels were put in motion in the summer, and that's the truth. And I look, like I'm one of the people that thought that there was going to be, some sort of reconciliation somewhere along the line, and it just didn't happen. And I think a lot of people looked at the money and said maybe that was it. And I don't think that was it either. I think it was more a disagreement over future years over the summer, and that Brady wanted really a contract that would, ensure that he'd be the starting quarterback over the next 3 years. And it would be the next 2 years now, but the next 3 years at the time. And they wanted to go more year to year in the structure of the contract. And that's why, things broke down and it wound up being he's just going to raise and he was and the ability to hit the free agent market after the year. And then after the season, there were people as recently as Monday morning in that building. They were saying to me, like, I don't know why Tom and Bill and Robert can't just all sit in a room and hash it out. But about 2 weeks ago, Bill called Tom and he handled Tom the way he handles any other player. Just said, this is the deal. This is the way I see it. If you like it, great. You can come back. If not, then I understand that you're free to go and explore the market. And then it sort of got out there. Well, maybe he's going to come back and maybe he'll be the one that'll knock on the door with Bill. And I just, guys, I think, and Bobby, you know him. I don't think Tom was of a mindset this time to come and beg for his job back. I think he was way beyond that. And I think once that meeting happened and went down the way it went down, he's sort of mentally separated from New England. It's sort of a weird, just kind of cold way for things to end, considering what everybody there accomplished. But, the ending's not always pretty, and the ending wasn't pretty here.
No, it wasn't pretty, Albert. And, I guess as I look at the ending, and you said the wheels have been set in motion all the way back in the summer, so leading into this season, you felt like this was maybe inevitable. Do you think that there was any disappointment on Tom's end for maybe the number of teams that would be vying for his services? Because as it ended up shaking out, it was really kind of only, I think, the Chargers and Bucks, at least from what I had heard. Maybe Indy was involved at one point, but given the glut of quarterbacks, it didn't seem like teams were willing to drop everything and bring in Tom Brady like maybe many of us expected they would.
Bobby, you hit the right note there when you said drop everything and go all in. I think there were some teams that had an interest and had one foot in or maybe just discussed it internally. San Francisco, Brady signaled his interest. He's a close friend of that staff and Wes Welker signaled his interest to the Niners. And, the Niners were of the mind, if he wants to come here, then we have to discuss it. So they discussed it. The Titans, obviously, if things had gone differently with Ryan Tannehill, and, I know they used Brady's availability as leverage in the Tannehill negotiation, maybe they would have looked at it. The Colts had such a perfect fit out there in Phillip Rivers, a guy who just kind of checked the boxes as far as what they wanted, had background with Frank Reich and Nick Sirianni there. So you go down all these teams, and really, if you were going to pursue Brady, you had to have a lot of things in place. You had to be sort of a win-now team. You had to be willing to go into, like, a two-year window to win. You had to do a lot of different things. It was just, it's not an indictment on him as a player. It's just a different sort of circumstance that was going to take a team having a lot of things lined up and really being all in on Brady to do it. And, as it turned out at the very end, the Chargers and the Bucks were the only two teams that had that level of interest. And, both those teams, I will say this, both those teams were all in because, over the weekend and into Monday, you know, Brady had sort of a specific set of conditions, you know, that he wanted in place, and both those teams were willing to meet them.
Albert Breer with us from the MMQB. All right, so with Brady gone, and that's and the story you just told us, which is very good insight. And now we've seen all these dominoes. I can't imagine the Patriots are just going to be, oh, well, whatever happens to us, happens to us. I guess they could go to the draft. They could try to identify who they love and then try to either trade up or wait where they are and sign. They did not go after Rivers, I take it. They didn't go after Teddy B. They didn't – trying to think who else. What about – with Mariota going to the Raiders, is Carr staying there or would they dangle him out?
No, I think the idea, Gruden, Mayock, their idea out there is sort of to set it up like the Titans set it up last year, where you know, they've got a franchise quarterback back in place, and the franchise quarterback in Tennessee at the time was Mariota, but they have a really good veteran option that's a little bit of a reclamation project in reserve. And so, you know, that was sort of the idea last year in Nashville, where you know, they knew Mariota had the injury issues. They knew, you know, he played for five different coordinators in 5 years. They knew mentally he was a little sideways at the time. And the idea was, we're going to give him a shot and we're going to stick behind him. But, you know, if we want to pull the trigger on another quarterback, we're going to have a good one in reserve. And so with the Raiders and Derek Carr, it's the same sort of thing. You know, there was actually a point last year, and sort of flew under the radar, where Gruden actually did pull a Carr in the middle of a game and put Mike Glennon in. And so, you know, I think that the idea here is you've got, at the very least, a high-end backup. And if things go haywire, you've got a guy you could turn to that, you know, maybe could become what Ryan Tannehill became in Tennessee, because there's clearly talent there. He's a high first-round pick. And so that was sort of the idea with that one, where, you know, Derek Carr has sort of been this, you know, placeholder for a while, and they wanted to give him some legitimate competition. And I think that's sort of where it is. I think Carr will be the starter in week one. As for week four or week five or week six, you know, I think there's, you know, a decent chance that Mariota winds up getting a shot at some point.
And so since we're talking with Albert Breer of the MMQB here on the Brian Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline, talking about top picks, you mentioned, you know, Mariota number two overall in that same draft. Jameis Winston goes first overall a couple of years before. You have Cam Newton first overall. Both of those guys are now available either via free agency or trade. Who do you kind of see the first one of those guys finding a new home? And then do either one of those guys start? Are day one starters for their team in 2020?
Bobby, they've got the talent too, clearly. I just don't know where. I mean, like, you know, the Chargers are – and look, if as a discount, I think the Chargers might be willing to do something with one of those guys. But, you know, as it stands right now, I know Anthony Lynn's comfortable with Tyrod Taylor in the short term, with the idea that they draft a rookie, you know, whether that be Justin Herbert or Tua Tagovailoa. And then maybe, you know, you look at New England. I don't know either of those guys would be a fit in New England. And I think one of the things that hurts those guys is the weird circumstance our country's in, you know, and those two guys, because of who they are, there are guys that I think teams would want to sort of have the ability to kick the tires on before they signed them or traded for them. And the reason why is, you know, I just think if you're going to put a guy in position where he could be your starting quarterback or he's going to compete for your starting job, you got to make sure he's in the right place mentally. He's where he needs to be and all of that. Jameis has obviously had, you know, a ton of off-field issues, so that's a question. And then with Cam, you know, I think you really need to get have him in and have your own doctors look at him. The right shoulder, the left foot, the beating he's taken over the last 9 years, it's just, I mean, it's really, really difficult if you're an NFL team to go all in on somebody like Cam Newton to begin with right now based on his physical state. But if you can't have your doctors look at him, that makes it even more difficult. And so I guess it's possible that maybe somebody moves on Cam or Jameis in the short term, but it just seems like what's going on in our country with the coronavirus and it limiting travel and limiting what these teams can do has really affected those two.
Finally, final minute with us, Albert. We'll leave you with this one. why – I guess Tom Brady has some affection for Antonio Brown, and I don't even know if Antonio Brown would be eligible. But now that he's gone to Tampa and he has Godwin and he has Evans, is this little saga going to end pretty quickly?
Well, I will say something about that. I mean, Brady – and again, Bobby, you've been around him. He's got a little red ass to him. You know what I mean? Like, he can be, he can get his Irish up a little bit, so to speak. You know what I mean? And so there are certain things that I think that he can, that he kind of, you know, he'll kind of file away at times. And, you know, I really think last year, you know, that he felt like the Patriots left him short a little bit at the skill positions, said that that's no secret, and that they had a solution at the beginning of the season with Antonio Brown, and that the team moved too quickly away from Brown. Now, I think most of us on the outside would look at it the opposite way, say that maybe they shouldn't have signed him in the first place, and that when they got rid of him, they had to get rid of him. You know, but I don't think it's crazy to think that Brady maybe had filed that away, and maybe there's part of Brady that wants to bring Antonio Brown with him to show the Patriots, to show Belichick, you couldn't make it work. Now watch me make it work. So I certainly think that that could be part of the equation. And, hey, like, if you can get the guy's head on straight based on the player he is, can you imagine him with Mike Evans and O.J. Howard and Chris Godwin and all of those guys? I mean, it could really be something else, but that's a big, big if.
No doubt. Albert, great stuff. Be well, and we'll check back in with you again soon. Thank you.
Awesome. Stay safe, guys, all right?
You too. Thanks, Albert Breer of the MMQB. He was on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. When we come back, we'll hit you with an NFL two-minute drill. A certain running back is suffering from a very slow running back free agent market. We'll tell you who that is next. Carpenter and Rothman on The Fan.
There's nothing like waking up, turning on your radio, and hearing the ramblings of dummies. Common Man and T-Bone Weekend.
Saturday morning at 10.
The Fan.